Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2012 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. I would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Thanks all for attending this conference call for the third quarter of 2012. As usual, we will follow the agenda shown on page three. We will have, first of all, a financial review of the third quarter. We will go in a review of each business segment together with an outlook for the coming months. We will talk about the third quarter and subsequent events, and we will finalize, as usual, with a Q&A session. In page number four, you can see a glance of our results and highlights. The revenues of this quarter were $1,031,000,000. This is a little bit lower than the second quarter. That's 0.5%. Our adjusted EBITDA came close to $190 million. That is 18% lower than the second quarter of 2012. The big difference is in the net income, which we had a loss of $56 million, basically explained based on one-time effect of deferred taxes, which I will explain later. This is, of course, 190% lower than the second quarter of 2012. Our net financial debt stood at almost $4 billion. That's 14% higher than the second quarter of 2012. Our CapEx was $372 million, 90% higher than second quarter. Also, it's going to be explained in the coming pages. Page number five, we have a detail of the income statement and a detail of the EBITDA. In the income statement, you can see the slight decrease of 0.5% in revenue, which the main driver was the lower pulp sales of 3.2%. Cost of sales increased 5.2%, basically explained by higher volume of sales. In other operating income, we can see that we had an increase of $61 million, which came from an increase in the fair value of biological assets. Looking at the income tax, you can see there a loss of $148 million. From those, $128 million were explained by a one-time effect of the increase in deferred tax liabilities, which came from a decree that raised taxes for all Chilean companies from 17% to 20%. The calculation in our deferred tax liability came to a one-time effect of $129 million. That's the main driver of the loss that we had to account for the third quarter of 2012. In terms of our EBITDA, you can see that we had $190 million. That is 18% lower, which can be explained basically from a higher increase in fair value of biological assets that compensated the loss that we have in $56.7 million. In page number six, we can look at the cash flow. In terms of cash from operating activities, we have an increase of 48% from $80 million to $120 million. We had included in those operating cash flows, $20 million that came from insurance claims that were received during the quarter. Also in the second quarter, we had a tax payment for $110 $56 million. That's why the operating cash flow for the second quarter was much lower. In terms of cash flow for investment activities, the capital expenditures that went from $200 million to $332 is basically explained by the payment of the acquisition of Blackboard, that we spent $242 million in the acquisition of the 100% of the shares of Blackboard. That's why the capex goes up. In terms of from in financing activities, we basically had refinancing of short-term loans. But compared to the second quarter, you can see the difference that on that quarter we had the payment of dividends of $172 million. So at the end, we see that our cash and cash equivalents stood at $370 million, which is $100 million less than the balance of cash that we had on second quarter of 2012. Page number seven, our debt, as I mentioned before, went up on a net basis and also on a gross basis from almost $4 billion on a gross basis to $4.3 billion, which is explained basically by the consolidation of the debt that Blackboard had, $185 million plus some small debt that we are now consolidating, and we did consolidate at the end of September. And also, you can see that there's a change in short-term financial debt. That's an increase from $200 to $700 million, which is basically explained by now we are including the $300 million that we are going to be paying of a bond in July of 2013. As another news, we had the sign of a new revolving committed credit facility for $320 million that we signed at the end of the quarter. So the net financial debt is almost $4 billion, and you can see there the, our maturity profile that, as usual, is very well spread in the coming years. Page number eight, we were showing our ratios. Our ratios are, in terms of gross margin, a little bit worse than the second quarter of 2012, and of course, worse than a year ago when we had much better prices. Or last 12 months adjusted EBITDA margin was 18.3% compared to 22% of the second quarter of 2012. In terms of leverage, we can see that our interest coverage ratio stood more stable at 5 times, but our net financial debt to adjusted EBITDA last 12 months went up from 3.4 to 4.1. That's basically because of an increase in the net debt that the company had for the acquisition of Blackboard. In terms of the other ratios, they are more or less stable and nothing really good to mention here. If we go now to page number 10, we can have a deep look at the pulp division. You can see there that our sales went down 3.2% compared to last quarter, and that is basically because of a decrease in the average prices of pulp of 5.2%. So remember, the prices were going down during the summer season in the northern hemisphere, and so that explained the 5.2%. We had a 3% increase in volume that helped us diminish the decrease in total sales. Again, compared to 1 year ago, sales are down 6%, which basically explained by a 20% decrease in average prices compared to last year. We are seeing a change in the trend of pricing. At the end of September, prices started to rebound, and we had some increases that we're going to talk in a bit later on the outlook. Inventories are adequate levels for softwood and a slightly average for hardwood, and you can see production that is very much stable at around 730,000 tons per quarter. On page 11, as I mentioned, during October and November, prices increased for long fiber and short fiber in all markets. We increased an average during both months of around $30 for softwood and a little bit less for hardwood, basically based on the good ratios for inventory levels and increasing demand for China. We see stable demand for the next month. I think now we are going to be entering the winter season and the holidays and then the New Year's in China. So we're not expecting the trend to continue in terms of increasing prices. We need to see how we enter the next year, in terms, especially because of the new supply that will be coming from the mill in El Dorado probably at the beginning of 2013. The spread between NBSK and BHKP stood at $30, and we have seen higher freight costs from Europe to China, so that could have an impact in the exports that are coming from Europe to China, and especially in the spot market. Page number 12, in panels. Here we can see that prices, I mean, net sales are basically stable from one quarter to the other. Compared to 1 year, they're down 12%, basically explained by the fire that we had in Moraldea. We lost the volume and some pricing. Price is a little bit going up, and volume also going up 2%. In general, prices remain stable. MDSK panels sales volume are increasing. Latin American markets have happened on the whole year. Is very active. So all the markets are growing. North America very stable, improving demand, especially in value-added products, in molding, MDF molding. And we are seeing also good demand and pricing in MDF in the United States. Brazil with very strong demand, and we were able to increase prices during this month. And so, and also we have higher particle board volume because of the startup of our Teno mill during July. And we didn't have any issues in the start of the mill. You can see there the panel production. Now we did 800,000 cubic meters during the third quarter of 2012 compared to 732,000 cubic meters. In terms of outlook, we are seeing good outlook in United States and North America in general. Good demand for MDF, prices are going up, and also for molding. Not the same for particle board. Particle board is more stable at this moment, but we are optimistic about the construction sector in the U.S. so that prices are going up. In terms of our main markets in Latin America, they are very active with strong demand, and we expect prices to continue in a positive trend. As we enter summer, as we are showing there, Argentina and Brazil should have some seasonal effect in decline in demand. Mexico is doing okay with opportunities to grow prices. And the good news is that the startup of our mill in Teno, which we added 300,000 cubic meters of particle board, didn't have any significant impact in prices. Market absorbed well the new production, and we are also producing a very good product in terms of quality. That was very well accepted by the market. In some timber, page 14, third quarter had a strong growth, 10% growth, driven by increased prices of 6% and also 5% in volume. Compared to a year ago, we are more or less the same. And this is basically explained by higher volumes and higher prices. Of course, you can see that the real estate and construction sectors in the United States are now waking up, finally, after a couple of years of waiting for something to happen there. And we are positive in the trend for the future. You can see there that our production is more or less stable compared to last quarter, 660,000 cubic meters per quarter. Page 15, the outlook. Again, we feel that the positive trend is you can see in the graph that the housing starts now are at the level of almost 900,000 houses a year. Remember that about after the crisis we went down almost to 450,000 houses a year, and this is impacting of course prices of some timber, moldings, and in some degree plywood and MDF. Latin America is very stable, and we are seeing some good demand in the Chinese market also. So we are positive for some timber and for the for the coming months and probably next year. Now, for the third quarter and subsequent events, in page 17, the main event that happened just almost at the end of the quarter was the closing of the acquisition of Blakeboard. We paid $242.5 million. We closed the deal in September 24. Remember that Blakeboard runs 7 panel mills, 2 in Canada and 5 in the United States, with a total capacity of around 2.3 million cubic meters of MDF and molding combined. So with this acquisition, we are now one of the biggest panel producers in North America, and North America becomes our main market and main country in terms of production. Then after come Brazil, and then Chile, and afterwards Argentina. On page 18, we as a part of our SC certification process, we had the audit from Woodmark during October, and that is that already ended, and now we are waiting for their recommendations and final approvals of this very important process for the company. Page 19. And you can see pictures there of our construction of the reconstruction of the plywood mill that was destroyed by the fire at the beginning of this year. You can see some photographs of how the construction is going. We are going to build a 350,000 cubic meters plywood facility, investing of around $165 million, and we expect to have it producing at the fourth quarter, probably beginning of fourth quarter of 2013. And we are very happy with how this reconstruction is going on at this moment. Page 20. In the financing front, we signed, as we talked before, a committed credit facility of $320 million. This is a three-year facility. So it's a combination of a local tranche of $80 million that is denominated in U.S., with a local bank in Chile, and also a second tranche of $240 million that is with international banks and denominated in dollars. These lines have not been used, and that are there just to increase our liquidity in case of emergencies and things that happen in the future. And the other good news was that November 1st, just after the closing of the acquisition and the first option that we had, we repaid the loan, the existing loan that Blakeboard had. That was a $185 million loan with a very high interest rate, and we replaced it with a $150 million guaranteed loan by Arauco, and the balance was paid with the cash that Blakeboard had in their balance sheet and a little bit of capital increase that we did on that one. So this is what I had. Now we had a opportunity for Q&A. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to tell them now. We are all here. Thank you.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Your first question comes from Roy Kulik at Bank of America.
Hi, thank you. Excuse me, I'm sick today. I'm curious, can you give me an expected net leverage figure for the end of the year? I think, you know, leverage has doubled over the last year, and I think that's disappointing to the market. We've seen the company be very aggressive in terms of CapEx, despite kind of weakness in results. Fourth quarter EBITDA last year was $360 million. Year-to-date, it's averaged about $203 million. So I make my expectation is that net leverage could climb as high as 4.9 times by the end of the year. So I'm curious as to what net leverage will be at the end of the year and what your expectations are and how you're going to reduce leverage and over what time frame.
Okay, thank you, Roy, for the question. Yes, leverage has come up. I mean, that's a fact. And I think that the reason for that has been that we have been quite aggressive in investing capex and in acquiring companies. I think that we have invested probably an average of $900 million a year in the last years, and most of a big part of those investment and acquisitions are now maturing at this point. So the benefits of those investments are we're going to see in the coming future. So that's why they're not reflected yet in the EBITDA that will compensate for the increase in leverage. I think that these prices are probably in the low part of the curve. It's going to be difficult for seeing a big increase in terms of a big decrease in leverage in the coming quarter. I think it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to go to 5 times as you're saying, probably not. But it's going to stay probably a couple of quarters in levels that we think are not probably reasonable for us, I mean, on average. But as I tell you, we have invested, for example, in many meals. The Teno meal just started at the second half of this year. We invested, $150 million. Yeah, Guareva 2, we have invested $170 million, and it's going to start at the beginning of next year. We also invested in a boiler with a energy production facility that just started in July, so the benefits are going to be seen in the good price of electricity scenarios during the summer. Flavor acquisition, of course, we paid $242 plus the debt, so our net cash went down probably to $400 million, but the BDA we're going to be recognizing next year, and Segbor, I think, will be producing probably from $80 to $100 million of the BDA a year. And then you have the plywood mill that was destroyed, so I think that the BDA of this year is probably not representative of the potential that we have and increase in volume that will be coming from the investment that we have. So that will be reduced, I think. Also, we have the investment in Montes del Plata. That mill is under construction. We have to put equity there. And the mill is going to be generating EBITDA probably at the end of next year. It's going to start at the middle of 2013, but it's going to be ramping up. So we're going to see the benefits probably at the end of 2013 or 14. So, as I said, a lot of investment that increased debt, not yet the benefits that we're going to be seeing. I think probably from $200 to $300 million of EBITDA will be coming from these new investments. And also in a low price scenario. You can imagine that we have 3.2 million, million tons of capacity of pulp. So $100 of increase is immediately, $400 million of EBITDA. So this company should be generating, $1.5 billion. Billion in EBITDA in a normal year, and that reduces leverage immediately. Of course, we're doing other things to diminish net debt, trying to get more cash from working capital, selling some non-core land that we have in urban areas, trying to reduce capex for next year. We are doing our budget now, and we're going to reduce dramatically the capex for next year, because all our big investments are done, apart from MDP. So I think our capex should reduce, by half of the historical year. So I think we should be producing a free cash flow positive next year, and that should reduce the leverage. But that's not going to happen immediately in one quarter. You're going to be seeing it through probably 2013. And I think that's what the rating agencies have seen, and that's why probably you saw that pitch somewhere that's to BBB, but they know what's going on and what's the scenario for pricing next year and what has been our investment. So I think it's going to come down. It's going to take a couple of quarters, but it's going to come down to normal levels.
Can I just quickly follow up? Will you give us any EBITDA and CapEx guidance for last year, or at least will EBITDA exceed CapEx? And the maturity that's due in July, I assume you plan to go to the international markets to refinance that. Is that correct?
Well, we don't give guidance of EBITDA, but I can tell you that CapEx, I think, is going to be in the neighborhood of $450-500 million next year. So it's going to be much lower than the historical average of probably $900 million.
And, sorry, 450 and, to 500, Mr. John.
Yeah, more or less. I think we're finalizing the budget at this moment. But the numbers that I have is that we're going to be spending a lot less in capex next year, and that includes the equity that we have to put in Monte del Plata, which is kind of low for next year, so about probably 90 million. So capex is going to be much lower. EBITDA, of course, you see that EBITDA should be in the bad year should be probably close to 1 billion. So it's going to be much lower than the than the capex. So then you have to add. Then you have to add payment of interest, taxes, dividends. Dividends should be low because our result for this year is going to be low because of the effects of the deferred tax income.
And that, the maturity that's due in July, the $300 million, you only have $370 million of cash. And where do you intend to refinance that?
Yeah, I think that probably we're going to be going to the market at the beginning of next year, I think, to refinance that. That's our main plan now. Could change depending on what happens with our budget in terms of capex, if it's lower than the 450, or if you see if we see a change in pricing. But we feel very comfortable. We have this committed facility there that is the same size of a bond amortization, and we have cash, and we have lines with local banks. But I think as we have done every year, we're going to be refinancing with, in advance the maturity that is due in July, which is not so big. It's only $300 million, so it's not a big maturity.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Luciana Costa at Credit Suisse.
Hi. Thanks for the call. I see on page 7 of your presentation, you have a few bank loans in the next 4 to 5 years. Can you give a little bit more color on the nature of those loans and which one have covenants? Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I mean, this is a combination of short-term loans, the pre-export loans that we have that, of course, doesn't have any covenants. There are short-term loans that we renew every 90 days, 60 days with local banks, very, very inexpensive, and we have a lot of lines for that. And then we have some medium-term loans that we took probably 3 years ago, that were 4 years ago, that were an 8-year loan with BBVA, and then we have the loan that we took with Scotiabank, a $200 million 3-year loan. All of the loans that we have the same, I'm talking about the medium-term loans, have the same covenant, and they are disclosed in our 20F, but basically we don't have a EBITDA debt covenant. It's only an interest coverage ratio, which is two times, and we are now at 5 times, which is, and also we have a debt to equity, which is, I think the covenant is 120%, and we are much lower than that. So we don't have any problem with the covenants on those loans, and we have done the same way for many years. I mean, we have, I don't know, 15 years, the same type of covenants with the loans.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Fernanda Del Cure at RIFI.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to understand how is Monte del Plata construction and what is the strategy for the company to sell those loans by next year and so, and also understand, just to confirm the CapEx for next year, the company is working with $500 million, is right? And my last question is about pulp demand in China. If you could color me about how is pulp demand in China now and what the company expects for beginning next year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fernanda. MDP so is about, I don't know, 75% in advance of construction. We have still our plan to start producing at the middle of 2013, the end of June. And we are working very hard to go to that deadline. And construction has been going very well, I think, with the typical delays that you have in this kind of this big project, and that's why we move our deadline from the original March to June, but we are sticking with our deadline, and I think we're going to be producing at the end of June of next year. In terms of our CapEx program, yes, we are trying to aim at about $500 million. As I said, as a disclaimer, we are finalizing our budget, but I think we're going to be coming close to that figure, so it's going to be much lower compared to historical average, and the reason for that is because we know that our leverage has gone up, and we have to reduce the capex that is not strategic, and also because we have done most of the investment before. I mean, we built a couple of panel mills. We have the MDP construction. We acquired forests before, so I think we acquire enough for improving and having more volume producing next year. So I think we're going to be able to invest the less than $500 million next year. And then regarding the pulp demand in China, we have seen that the demand is good. I mean, especially October and November was quite healthy, and we were able to increase pricing both months. In December, we're going and changing pricing to see what happens, and I think it's going to be probably it's going to depend a lot in the startup of El Dorado, which is supposed to come to production probably in December or the end. So we're going to need to see how the market absorbs the demand from El Dorado. I'm positive. I think that as happened in the past, the new pulp mill has been absorbed better than the market thought. I think that if you calculate the ramp up of those mills in, I don't know, 6 months, I think we're going to have a good first half probably of 2013, because you have the reduction in of the capacity of Yari, 400,000 tons. Then you have the normal growth of the market in short fiber. And so I think that on a net basis, probably the total increase in supply for next year, the total thousand is going to be, I think, only 1 million tons. We have done some numbers, and I think that the gross amount of the two mills that are starting in 2013 and will have production that year, which will be El Dorado and our mill in Montes del Plata, will be 1.4 million tons probably. Then you have the reduction of 400 million, so you have a net of 1 million tons of new production in the market. But the growing of the market, if you put a 3%, something like that, and it's about another 400 increase in demand. So the net increase is going to be 600,000, and that's going to be concentrated in the second half once the Plata mill starts producing. So I think we should have a good first half. In fact, it could be going up a little bit on the first half, but we need to see how the year starts after the New Year in China and all that. But I think first half at least should be better than the second half of the 13. That's how I see it.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we pull for questions. This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you again for attending this call. As usual, as I say, we are open for any questions that you might have after this call. Just send us an email and we will try to answer it. And if we don't hear from you guys, we will have a new conference in, I think, probably in the middle of March to see the results of the whole 2012. So thanks again. Bye.
Thank you. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.